All right. Good morning. I appreciate you guys hanging with us. This has been a difficult morning, trying from the start for some. This morning, I just did a live video just a second ago, but for those late here this morning or joining us live on Facebook now, this morning we got a call early that food situation had to change out of our control. And so we went to Publix this morning, was going to grab sandwich stuff, and the sweet folks at Publix upped their game and went from that to fried chicken, Jesse, and all the fixings. So we had that this morning, and so hope everyone here got full bellies. But also having some sound problems this morning. You can see we've got some great folks behind me, Jesse and Joseph and John. Hopefully we'll get that figured out, but if not, that's okay too. But here's the deal. I believe this, for those that are gathered here in the shade, those that joining us on Facebook, I believe that we have encountered much difficulty this morning because we have ironically found ourselves in John 3:16. I want to tell you my thoughts on this. Is I believe that as people of God, that we have a very real enemy, a presence that is working against us, and the Scripture tells us that he is one that loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I believe there is a message for those this morning who know Jesus and those who don't, that the enemy is nervous about. So we're going to take it as that, as spiritual attack. We're going to pray against that, and then we'll get in the Word and just see where it goes from there. So will you join me wherever you're at this morning, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, the beautiful weather, and even much more so the beautiful people that you've gathered around this morning as the family of God, those here in this parking lot and those that are gathered online watching now. We just thank you for just being a God that cares for us, that loves us. Even something as simple this morning as providing a meal, that you did that, Father. You lined all of this up, and just what could have been even more chaotic this morning than even it was, God, you provide. And so, Father, you are the great provider. We thank you for that. And so with that, we ask you to continue to provide. We ask you to provide for those that are here this morning that do not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. For those who do know you, that, Father, you continue to provide just that wink and that nod to us that, hey, I love you. I haven't forgotten about you. I hear you. I see you. And, Father, just thank you for the love of Jesus that is found in all of these things. And we pray it in his name this morning. Amen. All right, so we're in John chapter 3 this morning. I want to continue in a conversation from Jesus and Nicodemus. Originally, this was going to be 1 week. I was going to teach this whole conversation in 1 week. And to the best of my memory, we are on week number 3 now and should be wrapping up this conversation. And it lands us today, honestly, in the most famous Bible passage of them all, John 3:16. I want to do a quick recap, though, for those that maybe are just here this week for the first time in this part of John, kind of just catch you up on what's going on since we're hopping back into the middle of a conversation. But with a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. A Pharisee is this religious leader, one that, in fact, would dress a certain way, pray certain prayers, and he was the religious leader of the day, that one that ooh and ah as he walked down the street. They would know who he was and say that he was a good man. But he had this secret meeting with Jesus. He met with Jesus by night. He tells Jesus, this revolutionary rabbi, if you will, he tells him that there is no doubt, Jesus, that you are from God. For no one does these signs that you have done and not be from God. And then he drops the truth bomb on Nicodemus, and he says, Nicodemus, basically talking about him being a good man, a Pharisee, one that knew the law, one that practiced the law, But Jesus tells him this. He says, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. I mentioned this last week, but just as a little while back in the book of John that Jesus had overturned tables, he had now basically overturned Nicodemus' whole life, his whole way of thinking, if you will. So that takes us to John chapter 3. Last week we left off at verse 15, so that lands us again at the most famous passage of them all. But I believe even if you've heard this passage a billion times, that today, for the billionth and first, that God's Word still speaks. So let me start at verse 16, and I'll read and finish out this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is eternal, that is God-breathed, and even a passage like this that most could quote backwards and forwards, that God, your word still speaks new truths every day. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you take this time today that you speak to hearts louder than any voice here, louder than mine, louder than the voice of the enemy who has already tried to steal, kill, and destroy today. Any voice that tells us we're not good enough, any voice inside our head that tells us that may be true for others but not for you, Jesus, you have the final say in this place. Holy Spirit, your spirit speaks louder than any voice. So we pray that you speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:16, nearly everybody knows it, right? How many of you here this morning could quote John 3:16? It's a very famous verse. In fact, if you go to sporting events, you'll even see signs out there, John 3:16, right? You've seen that at live events on TV. Where's Joseph this morning? Joseph, I even remember Tim Tebow with tears trickling down his face, John 3:16, that Roll Tide, right? All right. We remember John 3:16. We see it in sporting events. We see it on t-shirts and media and various forms of entertainment. Even wrestling fans here this morning, there is a play off of 3:16. If you know it, you know it. But what does it mean? Probably the most misused verse in all of the Bible is John 3:16. In fact, a few weeks ago, not only did I call it a famous passage, but an infamous passage. John 3:16, what does it mean? I want to take you back to the context of the story. If you're listening at home or you're here in this parking lot, remember this is a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus, this Pharisee, this leader of the Pharisees, if you will, the teacher of teachers, meeting with Jesus by secret at night, the one who knew the law backwards and forwards, yet he is sitting with God in the flesh, and Jesus has just told him, unless a man be born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. And then last week, he ends with verse 15, right before the most famous passage of them all, and says, just like Moses, if you remember that story, we read it, it was from Numbers. We looked back where these serpents were sin and they were biting people, and Moses, on behalf of the people, goes to God and says they need relief. And if you remember, it said, make this bronze serpent and hold it up on this staff, and those that would only look to the serpent on the staff will be saved. Now, it was a temporary salvation. But Jesus is in this conversation. He says, just like Moses lifted up this serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, We talked last week, what was Jesus lifted up on? He was lifted up on a cross that he willingly laid down. And basically what Jesus is doing here is he is giving Nicodemus the entire picture of why he came to be. This one who Nicodemus says, there is no doubt that this man is from God. Jesus tells Nicodemus, just like Moses lifted up the serpent and the people looked to it for salvation, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He is telling him of his cross to come. He is telling him the key to eternal salvation, and more so important, the relationship that exists right now between God and man, that it is Jesus and Jesus alone. He tells him, Nicodemus, just like Moses lifted up the rod and the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that anyone who looks on him will be saved. Now, here's what I want to challenge you on this morning. I want you to think about, for those this morning, I feel led to say this, didn't prepare it, didn't plan this part, but I feel led to say it in this way. For those this morning that are so arrogant that would sit here that somehow feels your sin is greater than what Jesus' blood can cover, and say, not me, he can't save me. I want to ask you, what makes you so special? What makes your sin so special that Jesus himself, God in the flesh, standing there, sitting with Nicodemus and saying, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, if you would just look at me, the Son of Man must be lifted up and you will be saved. Not might be, not could be, not should be. You will be saved. I want you to look at me this morning on Facebook, here in this parking lot. I want you to look. My God does not lie. If you look to Jesus, you will be saved. I don't care if you've murdered, raped, stolen. I don't care what the sin is. Jesus' grace is enough to cover. If you look to him, you will be saved. So Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus and now is about to share the most famous recorded line possibly in all of human history. If you think about it in that sense, that anybody you walk by on the street, even those who would say this whole Jesus thing is a farce, I don't believe it. I don't believe about God. I don't have this relationship that you're talking about, but probably can still quote John 3:16. May not know the context, but can quote it. Nicodemus, sitting with God in the flesh. Think about that, that Jesus is fully man, but also fully God. This divine man named Jesus Christ. He's sitting with Nicodemus, who his whole life, now mind you this, that a Pharisee not only knows the law and practices it, but he has waited his whole life for the Messiah, the one that was to come, the one that was to set everything right and bring salvation. He's sitting face to face, and Jesus tells him two things for the first time, at least recorded, that we ever hear. Think about that. Nicodemus has the privilege of sitting in front of God in the flesh and Jesus telling him, you must be born again. First recorded time we see that. Now, maybe he had mentioned that to his disciples. I said that a few weeks ago. But the first recorded time that we get it, Nicodemus' mind is blown by the fact where he even responds, how can this be? I'm old. How can I enter my mother's womb for the second time? He didn't understand the spiritual birth. He didn't understand that he was in dead man's bones and he needed to be born again. And so he not only tells Nicodemus this first time, you must be born again, but then the most famous passage of them all, in a conversation with Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. You see, it's old hat to us. In fact, those of you that are here this morning, myself included, that believe that verse, that have staked everything on that verse for our eternity and saying that it is Jesus that counts. Jesus changes everything. We take that verse for granted. We've heard it a billion times. Nicodemus was hearing it for the first. For God so loved the world. I want to break down verse 16 and its meaning for the majority of the rest of our time in the Word today. for God. Make no mistake that this is an act of God. It is the grace of God for God. It is the grace of His own plan and choosing before the foundation of the world. I want everybody to look at me this morning. Doc, back there in the back, what's up, brother? I want you to hear me this morning. Alex, I want you to hear me this morning. Back over here in the back, I can't tell who it is. I want you to hear me this morning. He chose you to create you just as you are, on purpose, beautifully, as the pinnacle of His creation for relationship. He didn't create you by happenstance. He didn't create you by mistake or accident. He created you with a beautiful plan and purpose, all of which is relationship with Him. Not only that, but for God, it was always the plan that He was going to come and die in your place. For God, it is the grace of God. He chose you. He created you. He chose you to come into existence, to come into relationship with Him, to be an intimate ally with God. For God, it is the gift of God. This morning, if you could sit here and say, man, nobody ever does anything for me. I feel so forgotten. I feel so alone. Do you know that before you ever took a breath that He planned you? Before your mother even knew about you. I've said it in this way before, and if you don't understand, you can go and ask Keith Eccles. He'll tell you about this. But before your mama and daddy ever put on the Marvin Gaye album, before you ever came into existence, Heath, you get that, so he's going to handle that conversation. Before that ever happened, you were planned. You were the apple of God's eye. He made you on purpose, and that purpose, my friend, is relationship. He wants you to be in relationship for God. It is the act and grace of God alone. For God so loved the world. I got news for you. It's not an exclusive club here. There's not some people. Anybody remember members only jackets? I'm going to be honest. I kind of still like those. I wouldn't mind having a nice, fresh, clean members only jacket. But I got news for you here this morning. It's not an exclusive club. He didn't die for just some that could walk around with their special little members only jacket and say, you're not good enough. For God so loved the world. I'm a simpleton, but I believe the world, get this, means the world. He loves all His created children. He wants to be in intimate fellowship with you. That's what the garden was about. He was never going to create Adam and Eve and tell them, now you populate the world, but when you populate some, I'm not going to like this group or that group. I love them all. Created them beautifully different, unique, on purpose, with a plan, all for relationships. So love the world. The world has never met or seen a person that God does not love and cherish. Listen to me. Everyone you encounter is the pinnacle of God's creation. I don't care how they act, what they say, how mean, how rude, how indifferent, how sinful. Every person you encounter is the pinnacle of God's creation. Now, this is a bonus for you. That coworker that you hate, that family member that you hate, that person that lives down at the next camp that you can't stand, that you loathe. Jason turned around on that one. That person that you don't like, listen to me. God loves them no more, no less than you. He loves them the same. You're not any more special than they are. He loves them just like He loves you. It ought to give you some kind of grace in how you act and respond. This person is the pinnacle of God's creation, even when you can't see it. That person you hate, God loves them and died for them and created them for relationship. All of us. How do I know? For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. When you give someone something, it's a gift. It's nothing you can earn. You cannot earn your way in. There will be a moment when you draw your final breath. When you draw your final breath, listen to me. If you're counting on anything other than the grace of Jesus, it is, if I said a few weeks ago, that is merely an undertaker dressing up dead man's bones. It's just a covering. They are still dead. No matter how pretty you try to make it look, dead. I go back to Jesus' words, you must be born again. He gave his only son. John 1, if you go back, he has always been, always existed. He was always the plan. Revelation says it in this way. We know he was always the plan because he was slain, he was killed, he was murdered before the foundation of the world. Always the plan that Jesus was to take your place. My friend, if you don't feel loved, I want to ask you, how and what do you do with the message of Jesus then? You are so loved because he gave his only son, slain before the foundation of the world. This morning, some of you are sitting there and hearing that message maybe in a different way for the first time, and you're saying, but not me. You don't know what I've done. You don't understand. Well, I got questions for you this morning. Are you a whoever? I want to know, are you a whoever this morning? That covers everybody. And so it says this morning that God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Man, I love fancy pastors. Listen, fancy pastors, Jesse, you ever heard somebody do this where they go and they expound on the Greek, right? The Greek, or, you know, this is the Hebrew. Here's what whoever means in the Greek. It means whoever. It means you, Ormond. It means you, Bo. It means you, Melissa. It means you, Wayne. It means whoever, whoever, if you have a pulse, whoever believes will be saved. He's already told this, just like with Moses and the serpent. If you would just look to Jesus, whoever, I'll fight you on that. You show me somebody and say, yeah, they can't be saved. It's a lie. The grace of Jesus covers everything. He died for all. But you have to believe. You have to be born again. Anything else is dressing up dead man's bones. You must be born again. Everyone here has been born of water, that natural birth. But as Jesus said, we must be born a spiritual birth, born by the Spirit. How you do that is simply listen to the call. If you have something inside of you saying right now, you know what he's saying is true, and you've never believed, if you would just believe, if you would just, as Moses lifted up the serpent, look to the cross, look to Jesus being lifted up, then you will be saved. No doubts about it, no maybe, no second guesses. You will be saved. You will be born again. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. If you have a pulse, you're still breathing, you have an opportunity for salvation, but you must believe. It's not about you. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're good enough. Jesus was good enough. He came and he was always the plan, slain before the foundation of the world. I want to finish out this passage by just rereading a couple of these verses. Verse 17, I want to point it out like this. We love John 3:16 and then very rarely go right into 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, there will be those who are condemned. There will be those who do not believe, but this was not Jesus' intent. He came offering salvation and he still offering it today, if you would just believe. My friend, don't try to answer on your own accord. It's dressing up dead man's bones. Would you be born again? Would you listen to the Spirit? Would you believe in Jesus? I've never lied to you out here this morning. I've never lied to you. The entire time that we've been out here, I've tried to tell you the truth as I can from God's Scripture. I'm telling you this. You can be saved if you look to him. It's our only hope. Doesn't matter if your title is pastor. It doesn't matter if you count yourself a member here. If you help people, if you try to do good things and not do bad things, it's of no use. Unless you be born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus came offering life. He's not here for condemnation, though some will choose it. He is here for salvation. Believe and be born again. Verse 19 through 21, it talks a lot about light and darkness, and we can get this confused and think that this is somehow about works and measuring up how much light we bring or how much darkness we bring. I think it's so different than what people have painted this. Listen to it again, and I'll close with this. Verse 19, it says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light." The light is Jesus. It's not our works. But people choose the darkness. People choose the world instead of Jesus. And if so, their works are evil. It says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light," hates Jesus, "and does not come to the light," Jesus, "lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light." That is Jesus. In other words, if we're going to do any good, it's got to be through the person of Jesus. "So that it may clearly be seen his works have been carried out in God." My friend, this morning, there is but one hope. His name is Jesus, and I will close with his words. If you want to see the kingdom of God, glimpses of it here on earth, when you leave this earth in heaven, and then at his return as he restores all things, if that is your hope, if that is your desire, then you must be born again. Period. Nothing more, nothing less. Would you believe on his name this morning? That's all you have to do. I want to pray over you this morning. If that's you this morning and you say, "Man, for the first time, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never believed the message that I've heard this morning." Would you just do that today? That's it. I don't have to make nothing special about it. You don't have to run laps around the city and tell everybody. You don't have to join and walk down an aisle. We don't even have an aisle. How about that? We've made it simple for you. Right where you're at, if you believe, if the Holy Spirit is calling you to believe, would you just simply believe? And then that's it. You're born again. Done. It is finished. I'm going to pray that over you. If that's you this morning, would you believe? If you already have done that, would you fall back in love with that message? Let's marvel at the grace and beauty that is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." What a gift. Amen. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask you in this way this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You know, if you've been out here for the 3+, 4 years, whatever we've been doing this, you know this doesn't happen very much. But I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus died for you? You can shake your head, you can raise your hand. Do you believe that this morning? If not, man, please listen to the Spirit's call on that. That's not for me. I'm not going to parade that out and say, "Look, this person believes today." It's not about that. This is between you and God. Would you just believe? I'm begging you. He died for you. He made the way. Would you just be born again? Would you listen to the Spirit's call to come alive? Anything else is dressing up dead man's bones and it won't work. If that's you this morning, you want to pray something like this, I think you could simply do like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus, you came, you lived, and you died in my place. I believe. I look to you. I want to be born again. I believe that's enough. I believe that's everything. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the simple gospel this morning. So, Jesus, we pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that today they would simply say, "I believe, I bow down, I humble myself and say, I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe in what you did on your cross was for me. It was inviting me into intimate relationship I was created for." Would you help those in faith to say yes to that message for the first time? For those of us that have, will you help us fall back in love with it and let it be the good news again and not just the old news? Even something as simple today, you've reminded me of providing fried chicken. That sounds silly to the world, but the situation that it found us in today, you did that. That was a nod of, "I love you, I care for you, I care for the people that will gather today." Jesus, you are good. Father, you are good. Holy Spirit, continue to lead and speak to our hearts this morning. We love you And we thank you. Let those who've never entered into that relationship do it today. Those of us that have, may we just be ever thankful for the grace and the mercy and marvel at what you did on your cross, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We must be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk to you.
Check. 1, 2. Check. 1, 2. Check. 1, 2. Check. 1, 2, 1. Come the fount of every blessing to my heart to sing thy praise. How's that? Let's do something.
You want to do Love Is a Wild song?
Yes.
All right. We good?
Yep.
All right.
And government cheese. Daddy taught me to love my fellow man. Said the song is wilder than we can comprehend. Yeah, the song. It's a father shoveling coal. It's a mother making a home. Oh, love is a wild song, and it keeps playing on and on. Love is a wild song. I was a boy, I picked up on this wild tune, and I followed the sound till it led me to the truth. There was something they tried to tone it down, but the song, it rises up when the rocks cry out. The flowers in full bloom. Oh, love is a wild song, and it keeps playing on and on. Love is a wild song. From an empty grave, the song played. A wild tune of love and grace, and all the minor tones that all resolved on a cross. And when the earth shook, the veil was torn, separation would be no more. And still today, the song plays on and on and on and on and on.
This volume up just a little bit, just the overall. All right, here we go. All right.
Give it four count. That's right. Two, three, four.
So haunting, yeah. As she weaves and winds through the valleys, past the city lights, oh, and on she goes. And she is free flowing, yeah, unhindered and wild. She nerds. nurtures the wild things as her waters rise and on she goes. Oh, and on she goes. Wild river, yield your mystery. Spirit flows from the throne of God like a wild river, and the dead men rise. Oh, Spirit, yield your mysteries to the a flower through the concrete. I looked into your eyes and fell in love as I held you close to me. I saw your mama cry. Beauty and love in her eyes. Our little dandelion struggling to find the light. Born into a fallen world, beating heart and flesh and bone, our little flower girl, growing up among the weeds and thorns. Don't let your colors fade, oh, and don't spend your life in the shade. Let the sun shine on your heart, daughter. Let love bloom in its light. And don't forget who you are, daughter. Oh, sweet little dandelion. When some may fail to see just how beautiful you are, you may get trampled like a weed. Oh, but don't let it break your heart, 'cause the gardener has seen your work long before you sprang up from the dirt. So let the sun shine on your heart, daughter, and let love bloom in its light. And don't forget who you are, daughter, oh, sweet little dandelion. And when you take the sun shine on your heart, daughter, and let love bloom in its light. And don't forget.